like for us to think a little tonight on our faith in God. We probably are well aware that it's one of the essential parts of the plan of salvation. And Scripture says that without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yes.
There's no other avenue except for faith. The probabilities of seeing God with our natural eyes is very low. Seeing things of God is very low to see in natural eyes. So we need to have faith. And as I think about having faith in God, you have faith in God? But my mind goes to the idea of what is it? How do you explain God? You have faith in something, but how would you define God tonight? You're having faith in Him. Having faith in God. But what is your definition of what it is your faith is in? Moses kind of ran into that. He said to the Lord, when I go back, they're going to ask who sent me. Now he knew that they was going to ask him that, because he was going to go make a great big proclamation that let the people go because God said so. And they was going to say, who is he? Or what's his bounds? Tell us his name so we can deduce what his boundaries are. I mean, if he's a god of the sea, we'll know to stay out of the sea. I mean, if he's a god of the mountains, remember the folks that thought, well, we can whoop Israel if we'll get them in the right location, because obviously we couldn't whoop them up there. We'll whoop them down the plains. So they was looking for a definition to God that they could have some understanding about Him. Because it's very important for us to have some definitions about who God. I mean, I say I have faith in God. I have faith in what? Well, I mean, what's He saying that He is that I need to have faith in? You understand what I'm saying? Because I may be prone to doubt. And every time I doubt, instead of having faith, I'm doubting an aspect of God's. But really, I don't know if you ever thought about it, but when you don't have faith, when you doubt, you're actually doubting a characteristic that God is trying to get to us. He is something. God is not a just a ball of energy. He's not just an ore or something out there somewhere as an energy force or something. He's a being with definition. He told Moses a definition to take to them. Tell them I am that I am. I wonder how long it took them to wrap their mind. I try to wrap my mind around that a lot and fail to get my mind all the way around the idea of God's self-explanation of Himself. I am that I am, and always have and always will. I am forever. I'm eternal, self-existent, all-powerful, all-knowing, pervading all, have done it all, created it all. I mean, all in all, there's nothing that you... Now, think about the fact that we would doubt tonight. But if when we don't have faith in God, and when we begin to back up, we're at what point of His character, what part of His characteristics are we diminishing? What part of it, what He said He was, are we not getting a hold of when we begin to doubt? He said that He is all in all. Do I ever think that he's not powerful enough to meet my need? There's no one in here, I believe, that would confess to that thought, because that they actually think that God is not powerful enough to do it. Because that's an intellectual thing. We can all come to that intellectual thought that he is all powerful and knows everything. Well, then what are we saying? He proclaimed his love to us. Right? I mean, he proclaimed it. It wasn't enough that he said that he loved us. But he proved that he loved us in the fact that he gave his son. There is no greater explanation of God's love to us than Christ's death on the cross. That shows it all. It does it all, that he loves us that much, folks. He loves us that much. I don't believe there was anyone in here that would say that they doubt his love. That would admit to it. And yet, in some way, when we are doubting in our life, we're doubting something about God if we're attempting to have faith in God. So Lord, help us tonight. I want to encourage us to have faith in God and not doubt. I have a desire in my heart that we would give up the struggles. Too often I know that the battle is in the struggling. We need to give up the struggle. I think living for God is meant to be a peaceful. I know there's burdens. There are always burdens. There are always battles. But I believe it's a joyful way that's full of peace. I believe that we can surrender ourselves into a one that's able and not doubt what he's trying to do in our lives. And a lot, if we're not careful, too often we doubt what God's trying to do. I want to look at a scripture in Luke 24th chapter of Luke. Oh, I see. Let's go to the 33rd verse. It says, "And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told that what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking bread." So here's the setting. Jesus was crucified. He was laid in the grave. He arose the third day just like he told them, just like was prophesied. The whole thing is coming together. The whole plan of God is coming together for salvation. The apostles were there. This is the situation now. And now it's come up and the Lord had, the stone was rolled away. And there was people there that witnessed and testified to the fact that he was not laying in there. And it was starting to be voiced abroad that Jesus wasn't there. And then he appeared to different ones. He's starting to show himself. And I would have to say that the primary thing on their minds at this point would have to be, there isn't a lot of time lapsed here, they had to be thinking about the Lord. I mean, wouldn't you say? I mean, they were definitely talking about the Lord. And Simon comes along, Peter says, he's arisen. Some of the women are testifying, he's arisen. Now here comes these guys. He's arisen. Christ is alive. He's arisen. And there's this thought going around and the idea of it's going around. Listen. It says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. There was a man in the scriptures named Simeon. The Holy Ghost had told Simeon that he was not going to pass until he saw the Lord's salvation. And that guy believed it. And it didn't sound like to me he doubted a bit on it. Because the Lord told him, he believed it. And the Lord brought it through until when they brought Jesus in. You remember they brought him in as a custom, I think, on the eighth day. They brought him into the temple for the rites that they had. And they brought him in. And when Simeon seen this child, how can you explain something like that? Something witnessed to him. Well, the Holy Ghost had witnessed to him. The Spirit of the Lord had witnessed to him. And the Spirit that was working with him, and this child comes in, and immediately there's a witness that this is the Christ. And he said, I can go home now. I'm done now, for my eyes have beheld his salvation, the consolation of Israel. Here it is. I'm fulfilled. I can go on now because God can be through with me. You know, that's powerful. That's a powerful idea that he didn't waver in his faith in God of what God had said. So Jesus now appears in the midst of these men and said to them, here's Jesus, peace be unto you. Now in my mind, I would like to think that these men were sitting there waiting and saying, he'll come up in a little bit. Jesus is going to be here in a little bit. That's what he's got planned. That's what he said. That's what he's going to do. And Jesus is surely going to come. Well, he comes and says, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Now, I'm not going to pretend to know all about this because there's a little vagueness in my mind that about they spent these years with him. He seems to be in his Jesus form. He shows up as Jesus. He speaks words like Jesus. He shows up there right there when they're talking about Jesus, thinking about Jesus, and shows himself to be Jesus. But instead of seeing him as Jesus, or maybe they did see him somewhat as Jesus. It didn't really say that they didn't. They said they thought it was a spirit. You know, Jesus didn't say, you all know there are no spirits. That's another subject, but he didn't say that. He just started telling them what the difference was. But the idea was is that they was afraid. Something happened in their minds and their hearts, and they was afraid of this scene and all that. And I'm going to tell you, they doubted something. Jesus, there is something about Jesus that he wants you and I to get a hold of. He's on our side. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He wants us to get a hold of that by faith. He wants us to have faith in him. In him, not just works or not happenings or not situations or things that we can see with our eyes or the troubles or cares or get our eyes on it. He wants us to believe him for who he is. He is Jesus, the Son of God, that died for us. And if he died for us, surely he's going to be for us. So where are we forsaken? Why do we doubt in these situations and think like Jesus isn't there and I'm going to be destroyed and I'm going to be doomed and all of these kind of things? And the Lord is saying, what part of me are you denying? Or do you think I'm not capable? Do you think I'm not willing? Do you really think I don't love you enough to do it? These men were in a place, and Jesus said unto them, why are ye troubled? This is a question. Why is the question that answers the reason or the cause of? You know, we ought to ask ourselves, why a lot? Now, I don't believe in just asking questions because it's fun to ask questions. I think that reason for asking questions is to get the answer. I think we ought to end up with an answer when we ask. But I say it this way. I think we ought to always be quick to forgive. But you know, if I was walking out of here and all of a sudden you hit me on top of the head, and you might come back and say, listen, Brother Marty, I'm sorry about hitting you on the head. I'd say, well, you're forgiven, but I like to ask you a question. Why'd you hit me on the head? I think that you ought to ask yourself the question. I want to be forgiven by Brother Marty, but I better ask myself a question. Why did I hit him on the head? You know, there's questions, really. There's questions that needs to be answered about this. And Jesus said to them, here he comes for one of the most profound moments of their experience. The risen Christ that they're going to be able to testify to all the rest of their ministering life. When somebody says, I don't believe somebody can raise from the dead, they're about to get the witness that gives them the answer to that. And yet in all this scene that the Lord set up for them, they totally was missing it. Because of their fears, their doubts. Jesus never proved anywhere that he was anything but Christ to them. And yet when he comes, they were fearful. And what? And why? Why are you troubled? I wonder what, if they'd have sat them all down and they would have had the opportunity to say, we're going to answer that for you, Lord. Why I'm troubled. You know, this days you've been gone, I didn't think he's coming back. That's honest. I mean, that's an honest approach. I didn't, you know, you said that, and I mean, what did the Lord need to do more? Didn't he prove that the actual elements were subject to him? I mean, he showed these men that you don't have to gather up flour to make bread. You could take what little bit you got and just spread it on out. You might think you have to fish all night to catch fish. But Jesus take a little fish and feed 5,000 with it. And just expand it. He also showed them that the natural elements were subject to him. He said, peace be still. And it immediately was like glass. It was just a calm sea that he showed them. And they had seen these things and had seen the Christ perform them. He said to them, you tear this temple down, I'll build it again 3 days. But they didn't understand that part of it. You know, we're very human tonight. I want to encourage us, though, to not doubt the Lord. Lord, help us not to doubt who you are in your character. Because if I was saying this without proof that someone could do it, it wouldn't be worth much. But you know, there has been people that's been able to do this. They have been able to have faith in God and not doubt what the Lord was doing. In the hardest storms and trials of life, there has been people that have stood faithful the test of time because they believed in God as being a God bigger than their circumstances. You get your eyes off on your circumstances, it's going to affect your ability to have faith in God. And if you get to thinking what happens in the mind, listen to what he said. He said, why are you troubled and why do these thoughts arise in your hearts? Here's the battle, folks. Right here's the battleground. Why is this question that begs the answer of a reason or cause? Why do these thoughts arise in your hearts? What have you been thinking about? I've left you for a few days. What have you been thinking about? Why is this arising in your heart? Folks, I'm going to tell you, our natural mental capacities, our natural minds will drift away. If we ain't very careful. And then we'll be subject to our own imagination and fanciful thinking. And surely when I'll do this, and boy am I guilty. Something will come up and I'll get to thinking, well, you know, that could be this. Well, there's not a lot of evidence that it is, but if you start off on a bad premise, boy, you can go a long way. And I'll get to thinking, well, this and this and this and this. And before long, thoughts have arisen in my heart. And now they become really difficult to deal with because they start affecting the way I'm feeling about things and the way I'm reacting about things. And then I'm going to get nervous. And then I start getting fearful. And then I start seeing doom come in. And before long, I have denied the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is. He is an almighty Savior that died for me and loves me and said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And I've denied all of it in the very, very reality of my life. Where it should really be at them. Because really, folks, we're just playing a game if we don't really use this in our lives. If the day-to-day responses of my life and the trials and the tribulations of my life isn't faced with faith, then what am I doing? I mean, He wants us to have faith in Him. He wants us to have faith in Him. He says to them, why? The question tonight, why are you giving more credibility to your problem than you are to Christ? You know, well, look at it. I'm assured that I will go through many difficulties in this life. Now, I don't doubt it for a bit. But I have an image in my mind, a vision in my mind that I have, that I'm in one place in this thing, and there's a great goal for me of making heaven here. And I'm on my way to it. And the Lord's able to get me to my goal, regardless of what it is that I have to face here, as long as I have faith in Him. Not doubting who He is. The Savior that comes to save me. Not doubting that. Why are you troubled, and why do these thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. You know, I want to tell you something about how much the Lord loves you. Just like His disciples. He didn't just say, you ought to know better. He may have said somewhat, well, here we go again. But He was more than willing to come and witness again. And he come again, reaching His hand out. This time, folks, it's got a nail hole in it. This time, it's got the proof in it. Here it is, the nail. You know what they done? Here it is the nail. Feel this. This isn't some separated spirit from its body. This is me. Come experience this. He so much wanted them to have a life of faith that He was willing to come back to them again. Have faith in me. Well, he said, for handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when He had spoken, He showed them His hands, His feet. And while they yet believed not, for joy and wonder, He said unto them, have ye any meat? And a while they yet believed not. Okay. Have ye here any meat? They gave Him a piece of boiled fish and of a honeycomb, and He took it, and He did eat before them. And He said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Well, here we go again. And it was one named Thomas that had told when they come to him, I won't believe it unless I see it. And Jesus didn't turn that request down. He even fulfilled that request. Folks, Lord, help us to have a faith in God. That He would build our most holy faith, that we could show ourselves in this modern day of time as people that believe in God. Because what I fear is sometimes that our faith in God is really just it's just abstract to us. It's not real. It doesn't really work in our lives. I fear sometimes that I look and we say that we believe in the Word of God and that we live our lives by it, and it's something important, and it's and we put it in there, and yet too many times the answer seems too obvious that we're not grabbing a hold of it and saying, that's what I live my life by. I do unto others as I'd have them do unto me. That's not just a good idea. That's a Word of God. Do we have enough faith and confidence, not doubting, to believe that the Word of God works? We ought to believe it without doubting. Are we doubting the Word of God? Lord, help us. It's not just an abstract idea. It's something that should be put into our lives. There's something about Jesus that's real in our lives. And when we accept Him, and we embrace Him, and we live for what He wants us to live, there's something really dynamic about that. But you know, you can do all the externals. The Pharisees was worried about the externals. It got them nowhere. Externals are important in as much as you get the internal right, but you got to deal with the internal. I can dress right. I can go to church. I can speak right. I can do these things, but can I have faith in God? Do I believe He's what He says He is? Now, I know there's a battle. There is a battle. But sometimes in my mind, I'm sitting, I'm praying for the children, praying for the wife, rarely for myself in this situation, but the anguish that comes over me, the concern, all this boils over me, and I'm sitting there thinking about, I'm having faith in God. I'm scared to death. I'm worried. I'm troubled. But I'm having faith in God. Doubting. Struggling. Lord, help me to get a hold of who You are. And then maybe, just maybe, the Lord would be totally free to lead me into any kind of a place where I can say, Lord, just lead on. Your servant follows. I don't have to be in the bondage of the situations then. And I think about when Job had his trials. I want to say he done pretty good, old Job did. I admire old Job as much as anybody in the Scriptures. Especially that part about that he didn't charge God foolishly. He just submitted, here comes these things. What part about God did Job deny? He was God. He was in the place of God. This is Almighty. He's the God that created everything. God's providence is perfect. The ways of God is right, no matter what it looks like. Everything was in its order, and he did not doubt God. Well, wait a minute. The circumstances look terrible. His friends looked at it and said, well, surely God giveth, and God taketh away. God giveth and God taketh away. Is everything God's? God giveth and God taketh away. Honestly, Christianity isn't about living all of our life here on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's put not a lot of confidence in it at all. The idea is that there's something more beyond this world that we're going for. Lord, lead us in this life to get to the next one. Job says he gave. He taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, that's pretty powerful for a man of that time. That was a powerful thing. He didn't deny who God was. He believed in Him for who He was and held to it. I think about the Hebrew children that come up against their trial. That was put in a very... Did you realize that they were slaves of their day? They were taken away from their homeland. They were taken down to a foreign land. They were used at the king's his desire, and yet they were commanded to do something. They wasn't being disrespectful to the king. They didn't call him down. They just simply had faith in God. Faith in the God that they believed in. Our God. The great I Am. We are positive we're His servants. We're positive he keeps his promises. You can't hurt us. It isn't a bad mouth into the king, but king, you just ain't that powerful. We've got a God that's able to deliver us out of our problems. And they didn't doubt, oh, king, we're not careful in answering you. We ain't doubting one iota about this. We have a God that has a characteristics to him. He's a great God, a mighty God, a loving God, a true God, and a God that keeps his word. He's a God that's faithful always. And we can afford to lay our lives on the line for this God because he never fails. Now we can say all that, but the reality of it is when we start doubting, we start diminishing that. We start denying in our lives who he really is. And what am I really denying? Which part of it am I really denying? Which part of it am I really not getting a hold of? When we begin to think in our own thoughts, allow our own minds to wander away from our meditations on the Lord, when we start thinking about the circumstances, when we start looking around and saying, yeah, so-and-so had this and this is what happened. This is the way that naturally runs. And this is the course that it does. None of that says that there's a great almighty I am that takes care of you and me. And if we're not careful, we'll build up a fanciful idea or something in our minds. And it will be a ruination of us. Lord, help us. The three Hebrew children held true. Daniel had his time. A very faithful man. No doubt about it. He was a very faithful man. And his understanding of God, he did not doubt his God. And when they made the decree, you all know the story. When they made the decree, and they was men that was purposely after him to destroy him. But are they bigger than God? Do we have to go to get counsels and figure and do all the things that our human minds will want to do? What part of God are we doubting here? Daniel didn't do all of that. He simply went and prayed like he did afore. I got a God. I got a God. He's been faithful. He's interpreted dreams to me. He's put me in places. He's defended me. This ain't the first time that they was gone. You remember? There was a time where the king said, you're all a bunch of fakes and frauds, and we're going to kill all of you. Because you can't answer my dream unless I tell you, and I'm going to get rid of all of you. And wait a minute. There is somebody here that can. We'll have to do this. Went to the Lord. The Lord tells him he comes in. It's not the first time he's faced that kind of stuff. So when the decree comes that you couldn't pray to man or God and give any homage to anything but the king, Daniel goes and he swings his window open just like he always did. He was not disrespecting the king. He honored the king, as we all should. We should honor our leaders. That's scriptural. You want to talk about the word of God? We shouldn't be really disrespectful to the leaders of our land because God takes credit for setting them up, good or bad. So really, we ought to do that. I ain't saying about disagreeing with policies or disagreeing with wrong actions. I'm saying that you ought to honor that position and that man and speak of it favorably and pray for it. That's honest. Well, he went and he prayed just like he always did, three times a day. They caught him now. But you know, he didn't doubt. He never doubted. His faith was set. And you know why? Because the outcome doesn't matter. I'm going to serve God anyway. I'm going to serve God. If he allows his name to be glorified by me going to the lines, then so be it. But I'm going to go to the lines. I'm going to do what I have to do. But my God is able to do that. God wants to work in our lives. God wants to enlarge our habitation. I'm convinced God wants to save people and bring them in. But you know, he needs some place to bring them. There needs to be a place to bring them to. It's not God's. If there's a lack, it's not God's fault. Folks, it's not God's fault. Well, we don't see this or that like we ought to. It's not God's fault. It's just not God's fault. He's the same God that's always healed. He's the same God that's always delivered. You know, sometimes, Lord help me. Sometimes my human mind will just think my way all the way around a good deliverance. We're just going to have to deal with them, and we're just going to have to work with them, because the Lord knows we ain't seen no deliverance. You know, deliverance is just as true now as it ever was. Why? See some of these situations, and oh, you'll say, Lord, say, why are you troubled? Is this too big for me? Is this situation too much? The disciples asked Jesus a why question one time. Why can't we cast them out? That was the question. Because they had been doing some of that work and they had come up against this situation to where they couldn't do it. And so they asked the Lord, why can't we do it? And Jesus told them, this kind comes by prayer and fasting. This thing is going to take something a little bit more. You can't get this one with a little doubt in there. There's some situations sometimes it's going to take something more. I believe God gave us that more. We can have that kind of victory in our life now. Lord, help us that we aren't a bunch of doubters. We're to be believers. I'm not talking about superficially. I'm talking about the realities of it. That we believe in God. That He is what He said He was. That He can deliver to the utmost. He can go to the furthest place. Where iniquity abounds, where sin abounds, the grace does much more abound. He can go to the depths of any of this. He can cleanse any soul. He can take care of any of it. When we pray, do we believe? I'm not talking about just believing in one of those times. You're not like me, but sometimes I remember in the past that said, well, I know I have to believe. And so if I don't believe, I'm going to have to sit here until I do. And I'm thinking, I believe, or trying to beat belief into me, or however you got to do it. I got to sit here and grit my teeth until I believe. That ain't never really worked well for me. But I know this. It takes faith. A faith in God that goes beyond what you and I normally will say. It's a belief in God. Not at God, or not at something I heard somewhere. But it's a belief in who He is. Do you know that God proclaimed Himself to be love? God is love. So much love that He named Himself that. He called Himself that. That He is love. That should be overwhelming to us. It ought to make a difference in our lives. God is love. And when I come down to the place, it looks like I'm done. There's still the love of God. When all the rugs have been pulled out from under me in my life, when everything don't make sense, He's still God. He don't change His name to scared. He doesn't change His name to troubled. He's still love. When my first wife was in the processes of dying, I remember, well, and I've told this many times, but I come to a point in my life to where I felt like that my fingers was holding right on the end of the rope. I'd slid down that old rope as far as I could go, and I was at the end of the rope. At which end, I told the Lord, Lord, I didn't mean I was going back. I didn't have any desire to go back, but I told the Lord, Lord, I'm done. I remember the night that said, I'm done. I can't take no more. I'm at my wit's end. If you don't do something for me, I'm done. And boy, it just felt like God just opened up the window. It poured grace over me in an astounding, astounding way. I want to tell you why I didn't doubt at that point. I want to tell you why. Because I was so desperate I couldn't afford to. Lord, You're my only help. Humans have tried. People wrote cards and sung songs and had prayers and all these things. But with all that, I still was hanging right on the end. And God rescued me and kept me in a sound mind as much as I got now anyway. Yeah, but I was done. The Lord helped me at that time. And it proclaimed the banner over us is love. God loves us. Don't doubt tonight that God loves you. You will not, living for the Lord, you will not be destroyed. You may have to crawl some on your belly. You may have to, you will not be destroyed serving the Lord. He will keep you. If he died for you and the vow, what love, I say this a lot, but I want to tell you, love is not just a gushy feeling. Gushy feelings to us humans come and go. I can feel gushy about you one moment and not gushy the next. The real definition is value, worth. I don't have to have a gushy feeling about you to say, you're valuable. You're worth everything to me. You're worth enough to die. That's what real love of God is when I can say, you're valuable. You're valuable. It doesn't matter what your race is, your gender is, what you've done, where you've been, anything. You are valuable. And you know why I can say it? Jesus died for you. God loves you that much that your worth, eternal worth, is so much you don't even know what it is. You're worth something. Don't doubt that. Because the Lord wants to save that eternal part of you. You have an eternal part. These old bodies will lay down. This old fleshly body will lay down one of these days. But there is that inside, that soul inside of who you really are. And it's going to go on. And the Lord loves us. And He wants to show us. Oh, I love the Apostle Paul's testimony in Second, what is 2 Timothy about 4, where he said, I fought a good fight. Oh, he looked at it and said, I've come down to the end of this thing. I know how we can kick, and listen, there's a natural part of that too, but I've seen the saints die. I've seen saints die enough that I said, I want to die like a saint. I've seen them resign themselves to the will of God. No kicking and squirming and all that. I'm just saying there's a fleshly part of it. I'm going to say I've seen that and said, Lord, help me. Help me to have that kind of a victory in there. And old Paul got to that kind of place. Well, once before he said, I'm in a straight twitch too. I don't think he was making this up. He said, I it's better for you if I stay. But for me, it's better. I don't want to be with Jesus. I think he meant that. I'm telling you, that's believing and not doubting. Jesus said he went and prepared a place for us. He did. He's got a place over there for us in eternity. There he does. There's a resurrection coming for the dead. There is. See? He said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. Thank God. I've kept the faith. Yes. Been tempted. No doubt there was temptations. No, Paul waded through them, didn't he? Oh, I'm going to tell you, if Paul can do it, you can do it. Paul can have that kind of experience. You can have that kind of experience. God's not a respecter of persons. You may have doubted that and said, well, I ain't like Paul. Yes, you are. Well, I ain't as good as me. Yes, you are. God ain't a respecter of persons. It's you holding you back. It ain't God holding you back. You can have as much faith as you can grab hold of. But they didn't doubt. And he said, hey, tomorrow, it's off with the head. But for now, hey, I got a crown laid up for me. You just swing that old axeman. You'll do nothing but set me free. You can't hurt me here. I'm in the hands of Jesus. There ain't nothing going wrong here. Peter one time was threatened to take his life the next day, and he goes in there and down falls asleep. How many of you can sleep when the axe man's waiting on you the next day? Go in there and went to sleep. Jesus had told Peter that you're young, but when you're old, this is going to happen when you go to sleep. Well, I ain't old yet. Jesus said, well, I was going to be old, and I ain't old. I ain't getting nothing done yet. Well, we believe God. You know, the Lord wants us to live for Him and not doubt. And I want to say this. I wonder how many times Jesus appeared on the scene and we run away scared. But these guys couldn't get out of the locked room, but they was ready to run. And Jesus, and it's Jesus. Folks, your circumstances might very well, if you could look with the right kind of eyes, you might be able to see Jesus standing in the middle of that fire. You might be able to see Jesus in the middle of that circumstance saying, I'm here. Why are you so fearful? Why are you allowing these thoughts to arise in your heart when I've been faithful to you? All your life I've been here faithful to you. And now you're allowing yourself, your mind, to wander off into all these different things. I wonder how many times the Lord's visited us wanting to touch our life. Do something for us. And oh, that's too terrifying to look into. That's too much for me to go. Lord, help us. You know, you can stretch every cold into cancer. You can. You think long enough, you'll get every ailment. And we're guilty of it too. A little old thing coming. Oh, this is it. This. I've heard the prayer request. Oh, so sick and dying. And all this and that. And we can make a mountain out of a molehill with this thing. And then there's real mountains. But I want to tell you, Jesus is worth having confidence in. He wants us to extend, that we would build up our most holy faith. Lord, help me to have faith. Now, I'm going to say I've not been the privilege to do this, and I know some of the brothers have, and we got a couple of brothers that just left and went to Indy on a deal over that. I say, Lord, bless them. And help them not to doubt, because I don't think this is for children going over and doing it. This is for seasoned people that's got faith in God, because you don't know what you're going to do or where you're going. Right, Brother Michael? Who can know? We need faith to reach out to the world with. Amen. Are we going to convince them when we run? Lord, help us to believe in God and not doubt. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.